Greetings and welcome to another episode of Objection, the worldwide provider, I guess, of contrarian a-holery. We have the largest and most complex network.
Yes. Well, I mean, aided, of course, by the resources and malevolence of the old white man cabal. I mean,
We
can't ignore their contributions to our success.
Absolutely not, because they are a key component. We are indebted to the old white man cabal, for sure. And part of the cabal, I guess maybe a subsidiary of the cabal, is DBD Verdict.
Yes, yes. Wholly owned subsidiary.
Which hosts this show. Yes.
And if you're interested in the machinations of the old white man cabal, check them out on their Facebook page. They've got their fingers in a lot of pies all around. I mean,
they do indeed.
Yeah,
it's very valuable in terms of tracing back current events to old white man cabalery.
Cabalery, that's an excellent trademark.
Influence.
That yes.
I'm Judge Dan Mancini, and joining me as always is Judge David Johnson.
Yep.
Anything new going on with you?
Well, I know we briefly talked. You have the privilege of watching The Pacific, which is actually some nice synergy because we just talked about Band of Brothers
last
week. So I'll be interested. I know you're in the middle of it, so I anticipate your reaction to it. Do you like it so far?
I like it so far.
I have heard it is different from Band of Brothers, so you can't expect like Band of Brothers 2.0 or Band of Brothers Reloaded or something, right?
No, yeah, it is different. But, it seems honest to its source. It's not as, all the main guys that it's about are no longer living.
Oh, really?
At least two of them survived the war, but I think died like in the early part of this decade.
Spoiler.
So you don't have the kind of reality TV.
And I'm always interested in those movies, like the chick flick equivalent movie for guys, and seeing that this kind of fits into our thematic countdown here, like just the movies that make guys openly weep, that last episode of Band of Brothers, when they're playing baseball and stuff and they're giving that's
a rough one.
I meltdown for sure.
For sure. Yeah, so far Pacific has not elicited that. However, it does have one of the characters is kind of a bad boy, which they didn't have in Band of Brothers, really, in terms of, like, pulling guns on officers and, doing stuff like that, getting thrown in the brig.
Gotcha,
and,
yeah.
All that kind of wild, going out, getting drunk and doing crazy stuff.
Sure.
So, that's kind of interesting. Not to belabor that. We are in the midst of a 20-film countdown.
Oh, yeah. Epic.
Action films you are guaranteed to hate if you drive a Prius.
Yes. I mean, that's a rock solid guarantee.
Just to blatantly lump all Prius drivers into one category.
That's right.
Yes, if you drive a Prius, we are discriminating against you and assuming all sorts of things about you.
I mean, there's an excellent chance that you might have a lawsuit against us, right? I mean, you might have a shot at a lawsuit.
We're probably defaming you.
A little pro tip. Yes. Do you think there's like a... some kind of organization like the Prius PAC, that donates money to candidates who fight Prius defamation, Prius owner defamation.
You never know. That could be a wholly owned subsidiary of the old white man cabal.
That's true. That's possible.
Probably not, but, you never know. So we're early on in the countdown. Last week we did numbers 20 and 19.
Yes.
Band of Brothers and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yes.
So now this week we're on to numbers 18 and 17. And 18 will actually be a trilogy.
Yeah. We could take the easy way out and just like knock off three, but we owe our audience more, I think.
We never take the easy way out on this show. We do it right or we don't do it at all. I would say that's one of our mottos, wouldn't you?
I would say so. Definitely. Okay. And like it's up to you to figure out how much we're not doing.
Exactly.
Because there could be a lot of movies
right, that have come up where we just decided, we're not going to do that one right.
So yes. That's a great little way to live your life, too. I'm not going to do that. Right, so I'm not gonna buy it.
Well, I think in truth, there have been a couple movies where we've talked about doing an episode, but then we decided that we'd have to go back and watch the movie. Have it there? And we were like, nah, let's forget it.
That's right. I believe so.
I don't want to go and watch that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, but that means it's a stronger podcast. Because we could BS our way through it, you know?
Right. Probably many podcasts would just talk about movies without actually having seen them. But we don't do that here on Objection.
We do not.
Absolutely not. So you want to go ahead and introduce?
Yeah, let's do it. Here's a few hints. It's a trilogy that topped the fan-chosen best trilogies of all time in Empire Magazine, edging out the original Star Wars trilogy.
Wow.
So that's a little piece of trivia. And it could only be, of course, Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings. I pluralized the wrong noun. See? There you go.
I think Lords of the Ring, wasn't that like a Michael Flatley dance show? If not, it should have been.
Lord of the Rings. There's more than one ring. So, yes, obviously that needs no further introduction. The trilogy that kind of blew up the world just made it cool for all the Tolkien lovers out there to admit that they love Tolkien, don't you think?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just
made it at least somewhat cool. Yeah.
I mean, it actually, I remember, for some reason, I escaped middle school and high school without ever reading the Lord of the Rings trilogy, which was shocking. Right. But then I saw the first trailer, the first theatrical trailer for Fellowship of the Ring, and the trailer itself so blew me away that I just immediately devoured all three books just going on the trailer, which, and of course, the movies certainly delivered up to the hype. What else can you say? It's just, you know, I mean, I will grant this, though. You know, I will, if we're broadly characterizing Prius drivers as you would think environmentalists, environmental lovers, there's certainly some love to be had on Lord of the Rings, right? You know, it's a very pro-environmental movie, kind of, you know, you got trees just wiping out the machines of industry and so forth. But exactly. I think where there might be a departure is the very clear delineation of good and evil. There's good, there's evil. Evil is sticky. Evil is relentless. You can't negotiate it. Can't negotiate with it. It will, you know, wipe you out completely, you know, as personified by the orcs and whatnot. And, you know, especially in Return of the King, when you've got, you know, Aragorn's rousing speech, you know, like, okay, men of the West, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and even though I think Viggo Mortensen went out of his way to say he didn't want to look at it as a allegory for the war on terror or anything, you know, and I don't remember reading much of that at all, but I think in the fact that good versus evil painted so starkly could rub people with more nuanced, inclinations toward their action movies the wrong way. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. And I think there's definitely a thread of sometimes evil comes along and you have to take action in order to protect your way of life.
Yes, right.
And your home. And, yeah, that might disturb some Prius owners.
Now, I mean, and that's pretty starkly laid out in The Two Towers. You know, that springs to mind immediately when Aragorn kind of grabs, oh, man, how come I'm blanking? Oh, my nerd cred is evaporating as we speak. Theoden, right? King Theoden. Yeah, so...
Yeah.
You know, they're getting just pummeled by the orcs and, you know, genocide is at their doorstep. And he just says, you know, and I think Theoden says, you know, what do you do against such reckless hate? And Aragorn says, ride out and meet it. So, and that kind of thinking, I don't know. I mean, that could get you some looks, perhaps, you know?
Yeah. And there's also, I think it might be the same moment, or at least in that same exchange, where Theoden talks about how he doesn't want war. And Aragorn says, well, whether you have it, whether you want it or not.
Yes.
There's no choice in the matter.
I mean,
there's, you know, that does run counter to a culture that kind of wants to believe that we're in control of our own destiny. And, you know, other cultures only do stuff to us when we antagonize them. If we just don't antagonize them, then everything will be all right.
I mean, again, you know, we don't, you know, not to get too philosophical, but that applies in all the scopes of history, I think. You know, it's not even, this is a little tangent, but it kind of fits because it's not just like the U.S. or anything, but I've been reading a fantastic book series, one of my favorite book series out right now. It's a historical fiction series by Bernard Cornwell, who's just like the master of historical fiction, and it chronicles the Anglo-Saxon war with the Danish invaders,
you know.
And just kind of charting how England became this unified land and led by King Alfred, and who kind of had this vision, and like unbelievable stuff. Like at one point, the English, all of the culture of the English was like in a swamp because they were so overwhelmed, you know, but they eventually fought back to preserve their way of life. And, you know, by the time William the Conqueror ran amok, it was already, you know, English as a culture and as England as an idea had already been set. So, I mean, so this is kind of a historical thing, you know, because, you know, the Danes were badass. They were just coming to, you know, just to lay waste. That kind of had echo. I mean, just reading that, just you have echoes of just like people fighting desperately, like you said, to kind of preserve their way of life and to be, I guess, not to be chauvinistic, but you know, that's kind of, you know, we're not being chauvinistic because Lord of the Rings, obviously, and this wasn't a departure from the book. You know, Eowyn, you know, she mans up. You know, so it's like people manning up. Which is something you kind of overhear being used in campaign season, but that's true. I mean, it's just like sucking it up and going to work.
Yeah, and there's definitely a sense of, and obviously the movies were shot before 9/11 happened.
Right.
Largely. Because the first one came out, like, what, a couple months after 9/11. But I really think, beyond special effects and stuff, that its resonance with 9/11 is part of what made it a huge success.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Those scenes where you have Frodo talking to Gandalf saying, basically, why did all this have to happen? And Gandalf basically saying, well, you know, there's no point asking why it has happened. And you have to man up.
Right.
Deal with reality. I just think that resonated, not just in America, but I think probably in the entire Western world at the time.
Yeah, and I mean, just to me, I think what Tolkien really got at for me was, and I'm sure there's plenty of Tolkienites who would correct me here, but what impacts me about that film, and which kind of runs counter to a lot of the guilt-driven action movies out there, is that that is the way of the world, you know? The world is effed up, you know? And it's like, it's kind of humanity, you know? Just humanity is kind of really messed up like that, you know? And this isn't part of our list. And another, you know, a movie that reminded me of, and this might be a stretch, but like District 9, you know, that's another movie to me that spoke to, it wasn't about, I mean, it was about like humanity as a whole, kind of a diseased humanity. There's just kind of evil, reckless evil in the world, and there always has been. And it takes a courageous few and bringing that back to like the stuff you see in the Pacific or Band of Brothers or whatever to go out and do battle with that. That fascinates me.
Yeah, and there was like real resonance with it, you know.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't. Lord of the Rings is not a movie that takes war lightly.
No, right.
Yet it does posit that there's good and evil.
Yes.
You know, I mean, both sides are not treated equally.
That's true.
There's no moral equivalence.
There is not. The right.
There is clearly one side is good and one side is evil. And war itself is treated as an evil and a terrible thing.
And though mankind is imperfect, you know, they're kind of the ones tasked with doing the dirty work. Because, the ones living in the utopian society, the elves.
Yeah, they just kind of bail.
They just kind of bail. And, I mean, even though the Two Towers, the movie had them kind of had a detachment show up, you know, they weren't around in the books. So, so yes, man is fragile and makes poor decisions, but has a capacity to, combat runaway evil. So that fascinated me.
I agree completely.
All right. So, and of course, the extended editions are the way to go on all that stuff. It gives you more awesomeness. So
if you own a Prius,
yes,
and you have enjoyed Lord of the Rings, which is probably, I mean, most people do.
Yes.
Then you probably want to burn your copies now.
That's right.
And never watch it again.
Though, again, you do have an out with the fact that you had walking trees throwing boulders at bad guys. So.
Yeah. You do have trees destroying mechanisms and stuff.
Which is actually, in that small scene, was far more effective an environmental message than the entirety of Avatar, might I add.
I would agree with that.
But that's just another shot at Avatar.
Uh-huh. Well, you got to take them when they come, you know, I find.
Yes, absolutely.
So moving on, that was our number 18. Number 17, what was our number 17?
A little different.
Yeah.
Slightly. It's not quite as epic and far-reaching and impactful and, it doesn't really speak to the human condition perhaps as much, but it is.
No nuance.
It is about a guy who they've taken something from him. And instead of going through the FBI or making phone calls or being diplomatic, he just kills a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
That is, of course, the wonder of Commando. Perhaps Commando. One of the greatest examples of runaway 80s machismo. You know, just, and this is Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, and the Alyssa Milano plays his daughter, who is stolen from him by a collection of ne'er-do-wells. And
highly memorable
ne'er-do-wells.
Absolutely. Great names, great appearances.
And in fact, here's a little foreshadowing to stuff that was to come to this countdown. This is a similar plot to another film that is part of this countdown. We'll leave it at that. But But as far as Commander goes, just a red meat man on a mission, zero nuance, throwing saw blades at bad guys' foreheads, destabilizing entire geopolitical regions just to get his daughter back. And I mean, and as someone who recently, you know, I have a 6-month-old daughter, all of a sudden it's like, yes.
Exactly.
I am not capable of that kind of delicious mayhem, but that speaks to me, and I understand it. Because despite, and again, this kind of stems out from this countdown comes from, despite what commercials and pop culture may tell you, it's nice to see a dad be effective at something, you know, because usually suck at, like, opening jars of mayonnaise or something, you know.
Yeah, Matrix may not be able to cook a Hot Pocket, but he does definitely Matrix. Knows how to kick ass.
Don Matrix, absolutely.
And, you know, Commando is a notable entry in the entire subgenre of you cross the wrong guy.
Yes.
You know?
That's right.
And those are always great movies.
Absolutely.
You know, there's and there is another movie, yeah, that we're going to be talking about in this countdown that will place, you know, much, much higher. It's very similar in terms of, you know, you've crossed the wrong dude.
Absolutely. And that other movie, again, I feel giving it away, but like, that one is notable because it's a more recent movie, you know, where the tendency is to be, you know, all our male heroes are defensive and reactionary, you know, whereas right. In the heyday of the 80s of your Cobras and your Red Scorpions and whatnot, you know, we had these alpha males taking the fight to the bad guys, you know.
Exactly. And that's exactly what John Matrix does.
John Matrix does not react to anything. He does not react. The enemies react to him. You know, this isn't Jason Bourne. This isn't Jason Bourne just, you know, reacting to things.
Yeah, no, he's never wondering who he is or what it is he's supposed to be doing at any time in Commando. He knows exactly. John Matrix knows who John Matrix is.
Yes, and he's comfortable.
John Matrix knows what John Matrix is good at, and John Matrix is perfectly comfortable executing his skills.
I mean, there's so many great moments in this. I think one of my favorites, even... And obviously, this may be one of the most quotable action movies of all time. It's got to be right up there in this list, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, as far as the list that we have going, this is unbelievably quotable. If you like the Arnie one-liner, it doesn't get much better than this.
No.
Some favorite moments of mine, he's dead tired. So when he's in the plane, you know, takes out a bad guy, and then he jumps out of the landing gear, I believe, and like falls 1,000 feet into a swamp and then gets up and runs away. Fantastic. I promised I'd kill you last, right? I lied. Was that what? Yeah, that's another excellent one.
Yeah, and that's Sully is David Patrick Kelly, of course, who was in The Warriors.
Oh, excellent.
The actual, you know, Warriors.
Yes, yes.
To play guy, you know, so seeing him do the old you promised to kill me last thing is fantastic.
And I'm pretty sure John Matrix, like, swings the length of a mall. Like there's a scene where he's in the mall and he swings on it with like some piece of decoration, right? He just swings.
Right, it's one of those banners with all the little flags.
Yeah.
On him, I believe, and he swings down from like the third floor or something.
So there's lots of physics-defying moments, and it all culminates in just his one-man siege on the Central American compound, right? I believe that's where he goes down in all kinds of nifty ways, and ending up to one of the most fantastic final bad guy fight scenes with Bennett. Great ending and a great one-liner to cap it off.
And Bennett, of course, played Wes in The Road Warrior. The guy who played Bennett.
Nice. I didn't put that together until now. Excellent.
So, excellent villain of the 80s.
Yes. And we are, of course, talking about
IMDb. Yeah.
Bennett getting the getting impaled on the steam pipe. Let off some steam, Bennett. Fantastic.
After some great conversation between the two.
You know, as is the case with this podcast, whatever we're talking about, I desperately want to see afterwards, and I just really want to watch Commando right now. You know,
I don't have
the time for Lord of the Rings, and I've probably seen it so much anyway. But the Commando, I can watch that again.
Yeah, I may have to pop in the Blu-ray as soon as we're done.
See, this is what Commando is. Commando is a celebration of the father, celebration of the dad. Do anything. The action-oriented dad, again, counter to what we're told on infomercials and, you know, like long-distance cell phone commercials or whatever, where the father is just a hopeless loser, you know, and his entire family laughs at him before they tell him that how to become part of their favorite five list or something.
Right.
John Matrix does not get laughed at. You know, he is the dad of the effing year.
Yeah, he's pure competence.
Yes.
He's like the exact opposite of the TV, the normal TV dad.
Absolutely. And he's not beaten up at all about what he has to do to get his, you know, there's no scenes of him conflicted and crying. He's just all action. He's like the perfectly realized alpha male fantasy icon.
Yeah.
That we'd all have to be that kind of father, capable of that kind of destruction at some point.
Oh, it is excellent. I will say this, though, in defense of, just as a little sidebar, in defense of the television, especially the television commercial dad, despite the fact that they tell us that these guys are stupid losers, they're always, when you look at it, it's like, here's the deal, though. They're always overweight, bald.
True.
Stupid. But they have a hot wife.
That's
it's like, hey, you know, get off the guy's back. What, you know?
I mean, he nailed that down early and just kind of failed the rest of his life in. So I guess
right.
There's a certain kind of respect that goes along with
just
that.
He gave up probably after that, you know.
So then he needs to look upon John Matrix and build his life based on what he can accomplish.
John Matrix is, you know, he ought to be a hero to us all.
He should.
And an example.
Absolutely.
Example of what fathers can be. Husbands, I don't know. I don't remember the story.
Yeah, I don't think.
His wife was supposed to be dead, or whether she bailed because he was just too awesome.
Yeah, she can't compete with like him hanging out with his daughter feeding deer.
Yeah.
She can't compete with that.
Oh, it's so great. And of course you have the whole, doesn't a guy show up at the beginning to try to get him to come back?
Yes.
And he says, no, you know, because of course, when you're John Matrix, then the military is going to come to you and say, you're the only guy
who's
awesome enough to take care of the dirty jobs we need taken care of.
That movie has no downtime, because I think it's like almost immediately after the credits, I think, the bad guys attack and it's on. He drives his truck downhill, down the mountain or something, and it's on, you know.
He's the kind of awesome father that work comes looking for him.
Yes.
In the form of a helicopter landing in his backyard.
John Matrix,
saying, hey, you know, come back to work for us.
The John Matrix doesn't benefit from the stimulus. The stimulus benefits from John Matrix.
Exactly.
Absolutely. All right, well, you know, this is stuff. I think both these movies fit in nicely to our overall scheme, you know. One's kind of more, I think, speaks to a complex, interesting notion of civilization and humanity in general, and the other one is just kick-ass dad kicking ass, you know?
Red meat.
Yes.
And lots of dadness.
red meat. It's like, yeah, red meat and elfin bread, you know, whatever they were eating. So,
right.
Go together nicely.
Also, the other thing about Commando, just throw this mention in here, Radon Chong.
Yes.
You know, whatever happened to her?
Whatever.
I don't know.
No,
but she was awesome in the 80s.
Absolutely. What a great little time capsule greatness that is.
Uh-huh.
Could you imagine what a Commando remake would look like? Probably be a sad affair, huh?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, who would be in that? Who do you think they would cast as John
The Rock, right?
You know, coming right off of Tooth Fairy.
See, there really is no... I mean, that was the golden age, you know? There just really isn't any... No one occupies that role anymore. You know, the slot... I mean, obviously Stallone's still hanging on, you know, which is great, but, you know, he's certainly not as prolific as he was, so no one occupies that. The Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Lundgren... Van Damme type of, you know, just not around. I think it's, you know, maybe it was just forced out as you know, as an endangered species, and was just kind of forced out and taken over by wimpy, conflicted, reactive, you know, action stars who struggle with their darkness, you know, stuff like
self-doubting,
that. Self-doubting,
you know, that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, there's not a lot of self-doubt in Schwarzenegger.
No, absolutely.
Or Van Damme's or...
The only thing he doubts is how he could have killed the other guy even more gruesomely.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I think I could have done better.
Uh-huh.
I think I could throw three more saw blades at that guy.
Or I might have been able to come up with a better one-liner.
Yeah,
after decapitating that guy.
I'd like to get that one back. You know?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's just not the same. Vin Diesel, maybe.
And
then what?
We better end this before we start talking about Triple X, because the less said about that, the better. You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. Yeah, let's call it quits. Lord of the Rings, Commando.
Yes. And
17.
Well done. And I mean, the only thing I think of to wrap this up is thanks. 10 points easy.